This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Chris Canty,
how are you this morning?
I'm doing good, Dave. We're on again until noon, so that just means there's more of DCR to love. So I'm excited about it, man. Get to talk about the perfect Jets loss last night on Monday Night Football. Perfect loss.
Now, let's see if our compatriot, dear friend, Rick DiPietro, agrees. Perfect Jets loss last night, Rick?
No, I don't agree. The Jets right now can F off, in my opinion, because they put me in the worst possible position to be in as a fan, because I despise the Patriots. And you actually had a chance to beat the Patriots, but unfortunately, it's Joe Flacco at quarterback, which I have no interest in watching. And then on top of it, you know, the fact that if I do win this game, it jeopardizes me possibly getting Trevor Lawrence. And what Trevor Lawrence needs to realize, if he makes the decision to go back to school or stay in school because we have the first overall pick, he's underestimating our pettiness because we'll be equally as bad next year.
Yeah, but you're going to take Justin Fields if Trevor Lawrence doesn't come out if you have the number one
overall
pick.
No, because now it becomes about, now it's about spite, Christopher. Now it's about spite.
Is it about spite or is it about ineptitude?
No, it's about both. It's a perfect mix of both. What we're going to do is we'll trade that pick. Whoever wants Justin Fields can take him.
No, you won't. You won't.
And then we'll be equally as bad just to spite Trevor Lawrence. Don't play that game with us.
Oh, he's
angry. You're not
going
to trade the number one overall pick.
Don't underestimate our dysfunction. Don't underestimate our dysfunction.
Even with the Jets' dysfunction, there's no way they would pass on Justin Fields. Absolutely no way, especially with being on the fence with Sam Darnold. And Joe Flacco's performance last night, that's only going to turn up the volume on all the criticism on Sam Darnold, because that looked like a different Jets offense, especially with having all three of your top receivers on the field at the same time. Rashard Perriman and Jamison Crowder went to work, not to mention Denzel Mims had a couple of nice catches in there as well. So everybody's going to be looking at Sam Darnold now, like, why can't the offense look like what it looked like against the Patriots, especially that pass defense? Why can't the offense look like that with Sam Darnold under center as opposed to Joe Flacco? That's the conversation now.
Well, because according to Adam Gase, all he does is make excuses, is that, you know, for the first time, how come the offense was explosive? Well, we had our three wide receivers. Last time I checked, has anyone outside of New England Patriots fans or Chris Canty or myself or Dave, whose job it is to know all the players on all these teams, heard of Jacoby Myers? Have you heard of him before? Really?
No.
Have you heard of Damir Bird?
I thought that was a law firm, Jacoby and Myers. No?
Yeah, Jacoby and Myers, yes.
Yeah, and Bird.
Founded by him.
Yeah, throw him in there, too.
Multi-talented.
It felt like it was two people out there, because the Jets couldn't figure out that Cam Newton was throwing him the ball every single time.
Yeah,
every
they couldn't
time.
Guard either
like
one
with
of them.
With 8 seconds left and they got to push the ball further into plus territory for a shot at a field goal, who do you think Cam Newton's going to throw the ball to?
I'm
just curious.
It happen. You had a third wide open down the field with eight seconds to go. The Jets had
wasn't
no
the first time,
losing
though.
That game last night.
You had a third. It was a third and 20. Third and 20. And you give up 19. I mean, it's unbelievable, man. I mean, the second half of these – I mean, this Jets team in the second half is
– Well, the fourth quarter last night was an embarrassment.
Well, this is what we're doing, though. We're creeping up on playing a full game. It started with – it's been two quarters, but now we sprinkled in a third quarter, and we just did nothing in the fourth quarter. Zero.
But they had, what, four plays for 2 yards
what are you
in the fourth
doing?
Quarter last night?
Dave, can you just explain this to me quickly? Because, again, I mean, you're calling this the perfect loss. What are you doing? Your defense has just been on the field for a 17-play drive, and the first play you decide to roll out is a deep shot down the field into double coverage to Denzel Mims?
Double coverage.
Like, what are we doing?
Listen,
run
the
football.
I don't mind the play call, but when you look downfield and you see he's not open and he's double covered, abort from that play. Don't just
that was an awful decision, Rico, and an equally bad decision by Joe Flacco. It's 3rd and 7. You had the clock running because you ran the ball on first down and you took
the sack
on the second down. Why are you going to throw an incompletion?
Great point.
Why are you going to stop the clock for them, knowing that they got to drive in order to try to move the ball into scoring range? Why would you stop the clock? Why not force them to take a timeout?
How do you take the sack?
Turns out that they needed that timeout at the end of the game.
How do you take that sack, though, too?
Terrible.
I don't know.
The Jets are terrible. And the one play.
The sack was bad, Rico, but here's why I don't hate the sack. It's because it keeps the clock running. Just keep the clock running at that point. Okay.
And I can tell you another thing is that the Jets' offensive line, I won't tell you exactly who, was disgusted with the play call to take that deep shot. Disgusted.
Mm. Yeah.
Terrible
like if
play
it was,
call.
If you wouldn't get in trouble for fighting your head coach, there would have been a fight on the sideline. Because they were that disgusted. Because the players want to win.
Of course they want. Half these guys want to be here next year. You think they don't want to win the game?
And if you're Sam Darnold, you're telling, hey, Joe Flacco, listen, buddy, I'll break you off. Like, hey, you tell me the number. I'll break it off. We win this game. I want no interest. I want nothing to do with the first overall pick. I like being the starting quarterback of this team. Yeah, it was bad. I don't know how else to explain it. I mean,
the one play that would have sent me crazy last night, and it didn't even cost you, was one of the most embarrassing
things. Yeah, the 12 men on the field.
12 men on the field.
That's pathetic, is what it is. I can't think of a better term to use. That was pathetic.
Pathetic.
You finally get a stop. They're going to kick a field goal. They stopped the play before it even starts because you have 12 guys lined up on the field? Come on.
Dave, you had the ball for 84 seconds in the fourth quarter.
I know. But that's that's even beyond how pathetic you should be. Like, that's just having an idea of how many people should be on the field.
Yeah, they cease to amaze you. They cease to, you know what? Playing the Jets is like prom night. Like, everyone's getting their firsts against the Jets. That's what we're doing.
First quarter touchdown for the Patriots all season.
Listen to this.
Cam Newton, first time in his career, he's had 18 completions versus the Blitz, career high.
Listen to this.
First all over the place.
Yeah, it's as if the Jets have no idea that there's a second half where they're going to have to make adjustments because the other team's going to make adjustments. In the second halves of their last three games, here's a Jets tasty nugget for you. The Jets have been outscored 46-7, outgained 750 yards to 145 yards.
Oh, my God.
Their opponents have run 130 offensive plays, and the Jets have run 53 in the second half of their last three games.
Yeah, I mean, they're terrible. And they should have won that game last night.
Should have won that game.
Losing that game was embarrassing.
Disgusting.
Because, A, the Patriots stink. And I know that we want to look and say it's Belichick, and they still have they stink. That is a bad football team that's not going to win a lot of games. And you were comfortably up into the fourth quarter, and you were moving the ball up and down the field. And then when it came to crunch time, you just gagged. You just could not move the football. That was awful. Terrible. That's a terrible loss last night.
And on top of it, though, is what really drives me crazy is the consistent excuses, is the lack of accountability. To hear Adam Gase, we had our three wide receivers. Okay, you had your three wide receivers. Great. You scored 27 points. You still lost. And the New England Patriots hung 30 on you with Jacoby Myers and Damir Byrd as their two offensive weapons on the outside. That's who beat you. Jacoby Myers went for almost 170 yards.
Yeah, 12 catches.
Was wide open whenever he decided to be open, he was wide open.
Damian Harris and Rex Burkhead put in some work, too.
Oh, yeah,
being able to run
good.
The football. They did a good job of
turns.
Giving that offense some balance. I mean, listen, the Patriots put together long drives. I mean, every drive that they had in the second half was double-digit plays except for the scoring drive at the end. And every drive, every possession they had in the second half was a scoring drive. So, I mean, at some point, like, if you're the Jets, you got to find a way to be able to stop that. And it was just like, you're letting them beat you with the same thing over and over and over again. They're going to run the ball to set up play action. And Cam Newton's going to have two reads. If they're not there, then he's going to take off and run the ball or check it down. That's it. That's all they did. We said it going into last night's game. This is going to be a conservative game plan because Belichick and Josh McDaniels are tired of Cam Newton turning the ball over. And that's exactly what it was.
You saw that
it couldn't
the game
be
too.
A more elementary game plan offensively. But the Jets, for whatever reason, couldn't stop it.
Yeah, we're going to trick them with this one. We're going to practice all week for RPOs and Cam Newton run the football. And Josh McDaniels is like, nah, that's not what we're going to do.
No,
we're
going to
do the opposite.
Yeah.
We're going to keep Cam in the pocket, and he's just going to pick you apart.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they did. And why is LaMichael Perine only carrying the ball six times? What are we doing?
I don't know. I mean, do I need to see Frank Gore? I know the guy's been around for 700 years. I know he was a good running back. Can I see maybe the future running back? Can I watch him carry the football? I don't need to see Frank Gore.
That would make me crazy.
I mean,
there's only a handful of players on this team you're looking to see. And Perine's one of those guys.
Becton is one of them. He goes out of the game early.
Mims was good. Ashton Davis, Perine.
Ashton Davis. Lit Cam Newton up.
Oh. And that was a terrible call at the end of the first half. That roughing the passer call, that was a terrible call.
Cam Newton may be one of the toughest players in the history of the NFL that I've ever seen. He takes shots.
Daniel Jones would have fumbled that to your house. Like, it would have it would have shot out like it was coming out of a cannon if that was against Daniel Jones. I couldn't believe, because I'm so scarred. When I see a quarterback get hit like that now, I'm like, oh, God, where's the ball? I'm like, he held on to the football? What a brilliant thing. But
he takes huge shots.
Yeah, well, he's a big guy.
But Rico, are you really upset that the Jets lost that game last night? Are you really mad?
You should be.
Why?
Because
I'm upset. Chris, I'm not upset they lost. I'm upset they consistently, year after year, put me in this position where I have to root against my team to win. Especially against, it's a Monday night game. Your team has been putrid the entire season. Uh-huh. It's, I mean, nationally, it's shot after shot. The New York Jets are the laughingstock of the National Football League, and you had a real opportunity to take advantage of a New England Patriots team that's been struggling, and you go out and do what you did in the first half. You look actually like a functional football team on the offensive side of the ball, and you come out and you blow it. Long term, it's good, but in the moment, it was gross, man.
It sucks right now, but I mean, you're already in it. My thing is this: you've gone through the season, halfway through the season, you haven't gotten a win. You might as well go ahead and complete the tank. And winning a close game against the Patriots last night, I don't know that that does anything in terms of being able to move your program forward in future years. It's great that they were competitive. I would rather them be competitive than not, but you still want to lose the game just because you don't want to jeopardize your draft position.
I mean, winless?
Yeah, Dave, go win. If that means getting a generational talent like Trevor Lawrence, a guy who Mel Kiper says you can't compare him to anybody else but Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning or John Elway, in terms of being a surefire consensus number one overall pick and a guy whose body of work commands that. Yeah, absolutely. Going winless to get that dude? Yeah, you're absolutely right. What's wrong with that?
I want to go winless. Now, do we
know? Dave, what I'm saying is you might have to. You might not have any other choice. In order to secure him, you might have to go winless.
If you both go 1-15,
Jacksonville has the first overall pick.
We definitively know that Jacksonville has
the first. It's strength of schedule.
And that can't change over the final seven games that it would adjust to the Jets would have.
I believe right now the Jets have the better strength of schedule, which means they would have the lower pick. The easier the schedule, the higher the pick.
But right now it is. But I mean, I think Jacksonville plays Green Bay followed by Pittsburgh. It couldn't adjust to Jacksonville moving ahead of the Jets?
I don't know how it adjusts, but at the moment, if they each had one win, I think Jacksonville would have the first overall
pick. Right. Yeah. Listen, I don't know. I mean, losing that game.
It's not even that. But here's the thing, though, Dave. You know how this feels because it happened to you last season when, you know, you're going to carry that momentum of Daniel Jones throwing that extra touchdown pass in overtime.
Really?
No, well, but that's how. to be in that spot as a fan, going up against a team that you despise, where you're actually hoping your team finds a way to blow it and lose, that is an awful place to be. Awful place to be as a fan. I should be rooting like.
They've done that for you.
Like crazy.
That should
for them to win that game.
Going nuts to beat a team that is probably the one you dislike the most in all of football. That's what that was last night. And instead, they're so bad and so inept and so incapable, you don't even know what to do. It's Monday night. The nation is watching. They're the laughingstock of football. They have a chance. That's not good. You want to win. You want to lose. Trevor Lawrence, generational talent. They're so bad, they put you, the fan, the Jets fan, in a position you don't even know if you want to win or lose or compete or not. Like it's amazing that we're week 9 and you're rooting for your team to lose a Monday Night Football game to New England.
To New England, of all teams.
To New England.
Yeah, I mean, this is like if you were going to beat New England, like this is the time to beat them. And you actually had an opportunity to do that, but you found a way to blow it, and you continue to be the laughingstock of the NFL. You can't win a football game. You've turned your practice facility into an aviary where you're just, I mean, you got cameras bird watching. I mean, I don't understand what's going on. It's just, it can't be you just lose. It's got to be, you know, just keep piling on. Like, what would you like on your poop sandwich? How about some extra, more poop? Yeah, let's just keep
double.
Piling on the
I'll
sandwich.
I'll pay extra. Just double it up for me, please.
Yeah, just double. Give me the
double
poop.
You ever get the double turkey? I've done that occasionally. Let me get the double turkey.
You have to. Yeah, you go to Chipotle, you get the double meat. Yeah, give me the double poop.
Yeah.
One serving is not
Chris,
enough.
I would have felt a lot better if they would have just lost this game 27-17. Like, just
so
out.
If it looked like it looked last week in Kansas City, that would have been better for you.
Yeah, I don't like the, oh my God, I'm going to get a win. I'm finally going to get a victory. I'm not going to be winless. And then to lose it like that, that just hammers home the point of how bad they are. They had that game. That game was, they should have absolutely won that football game last night.
Well, yeah, they should have won that game, Dave, but I think in the long-term best interest of the team, you don't want to win that game. I mean, it was competitive, and that's what we said it needed to be in order to get a good look at the young players that you want to see. Like, I mean, I'm glad that we were able to see Denzel Mims get 4 catches for 62 yards. I'm glad that we were able to see Ashton Davis in extended playing time. Like, those are the things that you want to see. And you want to see how those players react in real game situations. That's the best opportunity that you have to develop talent. Is putting them out there on the field and seeing what they're capable of. When the game is 35-9, you're not really going to get a good feel for what the guys are capable of doing. But when you have a game that comes down to the last play like last night did, I mean, that's an opportunity to evaluate talent. And I think your general manager is going to need that because he's got to figure out who's going to be a part of this team moving forward and who you got to move on from. So to me, last night, that was the perfect game script for the Jets. You wanted to be a close game, ended up losing it on the last play. It sucks. It doesn't feel good right now in the moment, but you're going to look back on this season and say, you know what, it was all worth it to put us in position to get a franchise quarterback, whether that's Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields.
Do you realize that was Flacco's first touchdown pass was the first throwing, first passing touchdown since the game they played against Arizona?
Yeah.
Really?
They went a month.
Yeah, October 11th.
They went a month in between throwing a passing touchdown.
Their offense looked good last night.
Oh, it looked fantastic.
Flacco was good.
Flacco was good. Second
the
half
three
was,
quarters, excellent.
Yeah, we're creeping up on four quarters. Maybe after the bye, we'll play a complete game. We'll see.
You know what? You're gonna beat New England week 17. You'll be 0-15. You'll beat them week 17.
Don't even say that because at that point it's just hopefully the Patriots are competing for a playoff spot at that point.
Playoff spot.
Well, who knows? I mean, if any of these games get canceled, all of a sudden you're going to eight teams from each conference.
You could have 10 teams from each conference. That team's not going to the postseason.
Yeah, the Patriots are bad.
They're
man.
Terrible.
Hey, you say they're bad. You see what they did in the second half?
You see who they play on Sunday?
No, I see that. But you see, I mean, you gave up 433 yards to a Patriots team that offensively has been bad since Cam has come back. Bad.
They stink. There's no two ways about it. The Jets stink.
Yeah, but you find more embarrassing. You've been able to find more embarrassing ways to actually stink. Like they did you a favor. They're going to settle for a field goal. I mean, the turf monster gets up and tackles Cam Newton for you, and then they're going to kick a field goal, and you decide that you want to have 12 men on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Or third and 20, you're just going to leave Jacoby Myers wide open for 19.
He decides to run the wrong way, and he still get the first down on fourth down.
Yeah, they still get the first down on fourth down. Well, you got a third and 10. Pass is incomplete, but now you got a holding penalty. Just one thing after another.
Yeah.
I should expect it, but it's still aggravating.
Bad teams find ways to lose. The Jets are not even a bad team. They are the worst team in football.
Yeah, but I don't. You get paid a lot of money to do these jobs, right? Like there's only 32 teams in the NFL. So between defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, head coach. I mean, these are coveted jobs, and you get paid a hell of a lot of money, right? To make adjustments, you know, to find something, you know, to give your players answers to, you know, to the different things they see during the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get paid any money to coach or anything else. The Patriots just went on a 17-play drive. 9.5 minutes, your defense was on the field. And the first play you decide to run is a deep shot down the field into double coverage.
Oh,
yeah. So your defense has to come back on the field.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and you know the fact that he pulled the trigger in double coverage tells you that Adam Gase wanted him to take that shot in that situation.
Yeah, because Griffin was wide open on the flat.
Yeah,
wide open.
That was Adam Gase saying, we want to hit him over the top right now. Throw this ball no matter what. That's what happened. There's no way that Joe Flacco was making that decision independent of the head coach. That was planned. So to your point, it's absolutely ridiculous that Adam Gase would call for that under those circumstances. When all that can do is crack the door open for the Patriots to be able to mount a comeback because you give them the ball back with enough time for them to put together not one but two scoring drives. Made no sense at all. But that's the 2020 Jets. That's yeah. Adam Gase.
I mean, does it surprise you that they lost the game?
No,
I mean,
At any point last night, did you feel like this game is over?
No, you always thought like, wait, at what point are the Jets going to become the Jets and do what they do?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that they blew that double-digit lead in the second half. I'm more surprised that the game was as competitive as it was. Like, I didn't think that the Jets were actually going to come out here and play the way that they did. That offense was balling last night for three quarters.
Yeah. I mean,
it was. And we said that there would be
opportunities.
We said there would be opportunities against that Patriots defense just because they don't rush the passer very well. So there was going to be time for your quarterback to allow those receivers to get downfield. And that's exactly what Joe Flacco did. I mean, you had four completions of 20-plus yards, and you can throw in a 42-yard DPI on Jason McCourty. So, I mean, you had some explosive plays, and that's what they used to keep the game close. But unfortunately, in the second half, when you needed to be able to put together drives, your offense showed the ineptitude that we've seen for the majority of the season. Sucks to be a Jets fan, but, I mean, again – right now, this season isn't about what's actually happened on the field in terms of the outcome and wins and losses. It's about player development, and it's about draft position. That's it. That's what you got to look forward to as a Jets fan.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to come to the realization that you're probably going to go winless now, which is just all-time embarrassing.
Yeah, but they deserve it.
Of course they deserve it.
I mean, at this point, they deserve it.
But last night was the one glimmer of hope. Like, you know what, maybe we won't. And maybe you're right. Maybe Chris is right. To go in winless and getting Trevor Lawrence and a year or two from now, who cares? But right now, losing that game stinks. I'd be upset if I was a Jets fan. I've had the same thing with the Giants. Right? Giants lost to the Eagles. Giants lost to the Bucs. Those are, in theory, not all that important games, and I felt really upset. You had a chance to not be the laughing stock of the NFL last night.
But the one positive thing you have going for yourself is, I mean, I know you're still trying to figure out if Daniel Jones is your quarterback, but it's also you have, you know, a head coach in his first year. Like, you would like to win some of those games, or at least, I mean, the fact that you're competitive with this new coaching staff is a step in the right direction. Like, our coach is, I mean, he's dead man walking. Like we're done with him.
Yeah, no, we don't want any part of him at all.
I don't think the team wants any part of him. Like, we're past all of that.
Yeah, it felt like last night was last gasp in terms of the Jets players giving good effort and trying to have attention to detail, trying to win a game. I don't think you'll see that kind of effort the rest of the season.
No.
That's gone.
No, that's Monday night.
They got their bye week coming up. I'm pretty sure that the players are not going to come back from the bye week.
And then you look at the schedule. It's like
they
got
to fly all the way to LA to play the Chargers. No way.
Chargers, right? I mean,
Dolphins,
the Raiders.
Raiders, Seahawks, Rams.
Seahawks.
Browns
win these games.
I mean, the Chargers are a tough team. They're an up-and-coming team. But, I mean, outside of the Chargers and the Patriots, all the other teams that you're going to play in the second half are in the heat of the playoff race.
The easiest game on the second half of the schedule is the Patriots.
Yeah, that's the easiest game.
That's what
they'll do. And at that point, if you're winless, you got to make for damn sure that you don't win in week 17.
Now I agree with that. If you're 0-15 and they're 1-14, and if they lose and you win, you don't get the number one pick, then you just have to lose that game.
Yeah.
And that'll be the game.
I mean,
the Jets win. You
can't start Sam Darnold. You can't start Joe Flacco. Whoever else you got on the roster, that's who you need to play.
Yeah, all right. Let's get to him. Now, DCR, brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union, proud to serve members of the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Our members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Jets fans are lined up. Let's get to some of them. Let's start out with the captain of the Jets. That is Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, fellas. You know, I tell you, in the long run, I understand the big picture here. But if they had lost to the Arizona Cardinals or they lost, to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it wouldn't have bothered me as much as last night. I mean, you had the Patriots on a rope, even though they were shelling themselves. And to just blow away and give away a game like that, it's par for the course for this year. And once again, like, you're right, Chris, that long ball at the five-minute mark was just insanity that he threw into double coverage. The sack was a killer. The 12 men on the field penalty, I actually think it did the Jets some favor because the Pats ended up running off another 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, but unfortunately, at the end of the day, Ira, there was a positive to it. When it happened, it's embarrassing, and it's a reflection on your team and on who exactly you are and your coaching staff.
And you know what? If you look at the team as a whole, like Chris said it, I'm looking right now at the personnel and, what we got going for next year. It was nice to see the three receivers on the field. And, there's a little bit of not that it really matters because Flacco won't be part of the team next year, but he made throws last night that Sam can't. That pass in the end zone for Crowder, Sam doesn't make that type of throw. And I got it. Flacco got better protection because the Pats can't rush the quarterback.
I don't know if I agree with that, Ira, about Sam not being able to make that kind of throw. I've seen Sam make those types of throws.
Not long balls. If you look at his long ball accuracy, is not good. Flacco's a much better deep thrower. And I told you that on Sunday when I called your show, Chris. I expected the Jets to try to stretch the field because they had the complement of receivers, and Flacco was a big-time arm. I think Donald could make different type of throws. He can't throw the ball down the field the way Flacco does. But that's not here nor there.
Well, I think Sam having time to throw the ball down the field is the biggest issue. Keep in mind, that pass rush from the Patriots is putrid. You're not going to find a defensive front that rushes the passer like the Patriots in the National Football League. It doesn't exist.
No,
they're the worst.
I get it, but you look at the coaching staff last night. You saw what Belichick did. He knew that he was having trouble stopping the Jets' offense. I can't believe that's hard to say. And he shortened the game. He made the second half where the Jets had what, they have three possessions and they ran four plays in the fourth quarter? That's unheard of, you know. So, but at the end of the day, a year from now, hopefully we'll, you know, it's probably much better that they lost that game last night. As much as I hate to say it, it's just the opponent. I hate losing to the Pats.
That's not just Belichick, though, too. I mean, that's also your defense got to find a way to get off the field. I mean, you see what Belichick was trying to do, but at some point, Greg Williams has to make an adjustment. It wasn't like you saw something different in the second half than you saw in the first half.
Yeah, but in the second half, he backs off, especially the last two drives. I don't get it. He was attacking Newton, you know, most of the game. Then all of a sudden, he falls back into his zone, and then he hit a couple of big plays, and they win the game. I mean, it just, you know, it's par for the course for the 2020 Jets. And you're right.
But Ira, the other thing too is, I mean, at a certain point, I mean, Chris will tell you this. You got to play complimentary football. Like, you're clearly your defense is struggling. Keep them off the field. I mean, they were just I go back to it. You're on the field. They're on the field for 9.5 minutes in the first play out of the first play on your next drive is the deep shot that gets intercepted.
You run the football.
Yeah.
You ran it well all night.
Crazy. They got away from the run, which was insane. And you're right. If they go up to New England 0-15, start Mike White or Morgan. You could not take a chance of winning that game in the last game of the year. 0-15, you put in whatever quarterback. I'll play quarterback.
I can see it already. I can see it already. And Ira, thanks as always for the phone call. 0-15, up to New England. All we got to do is lose. Trevor Lawrence is coming. Belichick takes his foot off the gas. You guys win the game 1-15, and you don't get Lawrence. I can see it.
Don't start doing that to me now.
Like, that would be the Jetsiest thing in the history of football.
Yeah, it would be, but I mean, we're not at that point yet. Relax. Keep your fingers crossed that Jacksonville finds a way to pull off one of these games. Give us some breathing
room. Well, then going winless is even worse.
You want some breathing room?
I want some breathing room.
At least Jacksonville, I mean, they're in every game.
Yeah, I mean, they were good. Listen, they gave Houston everything they could handle.
A quarterback you never heard of before. Never heard of before.
Rico, I know this is going to sound bad because you're a Jets fan. You love your team. There's something about this team going winless. You know, I got to say, I want it to happen just because I want the stink of it to stick to Adam Gase. So everybody remembers that he should be nowhere near an NFL team ever again. Like, I just want Adam Gase. Like, you always said, I want him to stay around so he can wear this. I want Adam Gase to wear this. I want this to live in infamy on his resume for the rest of his life. Like, he's got to live with being the coach of the worst team in the history of the National Football League as we know it today. That's what I want. Because I think he's that bad of a coach.
I don't think they're moving on from him.
No, not now.
I think he's that bad of a coach.
No, I'm telling you.
Like, he's
Joe Douglas,
professional when it comes to CYA.
No,
takes no accountability and blames everybody else in the organization for the team's shortcoming.
He majors in it. I mean, that's what he does. He's got his doctorate in it. Excuses MD, Adam Gase. I mean, this is – but again, I mean –
But as to the Irish point about Sam Darnold, man, I knew this was coming. People are going to see that performance last night from Joe Flacco and say, you know what? The problem is Sam. Sam's not a good quarterback. Sam's the issue. Sam is why the offense has been bad. And I'm not going to say that Sam – doesn't have some level of blame to hold in all of it in terms of what the offenses look like. But let's be fair, guys. I mean, the offense, Adam Gase, the Jets, they haven't given Sam a fair chance to be able to develop.
No.
And the offense being as bad as it is not all on Sam Darnold.
You'll never know.
You'll know when he goes to a good team.
Maybe we can even repurpose it later. Todd McShay this morning on KJZ said he is not sure he would even move on from Sam. Now, I don't think that's what will happen, but he suggested hanging on to him, moving forward with him and just trading that number one
pick. I don't think
you have
a choice, though, Dave.
I don't think so either.
The more I think about it, it's in Sam's best interest. I mean, you just heard Ira, right? Like, that's how a lot of Jets fans feel about Sam Darnold right now. Like, they're ready to move on. Between that, you'll reset the money because this is Sam's third year. And more importantly, Sam hasn't stayed healthy. That's also a big issue. He's been hurt every year.
Every year.
You're not gonna be left with the option, man. You're gonna have, especially if you're trying to. I mean, if you're trying to sell this to your, like, how are you gonna sell that to your fan base? We're gonna trade the first overall pick.
Rick, I'm with you. I don't think you can sell it to your fan base to pass on Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. I don't think you can do it. Like, if you were talking about Zach Wilson or Trey Lance, then I think fans would be on board with the idea of packaging, you know, that pick in a trade and bringing back a haul. Like, I get that. But when you start talking about how good those two guys are at the top of this year's draft, and Mel Kiper said it, they're going 1 and 2. We don't know who the teams are going to be, but those two players are going 1 and 2 in this year's draft because they are that good. You can't pass on that. But to what Todd McShay and Mike Tannenbaum said earlier this week, like you don't have to move on from Sam this offseason. That's not a must. I mean, you can decline the fifth-year option and decide to keep Sam for the fourth year and have the rookie quarterback and see what happens in 21.
Now, see, I would never do that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, Dave. I mean, if Sam Darnold ends up leaving, you're still going to get a compensatory pick. So, I mean, I don't understand why you don't have to make that move unless a team is willing to offer you like a second-round pick or, you know, if somebody wants to get crazy, a late first-round pick. But, I mean, under those circumstances, then, yeah, you absolutely have to do the deal. But if you're talking about a mid-round draft pick, I don't know that you have to move off of Sam this offseason for that.
So I want him to groom my new quarterback.
It's not grooming, Dave, but it just keeps you from having
to force the young kid out there before he's ready to go out there and play. You just ruined Sam Darnold by putting him out there probably before he was ready. You don't have to make that same decision with a guy that everybody believes is going to be a generational talent.
Then I don't know, and maybe you guys disagree, and that's fine. The number one pick, if I get Trevor Lawrence, he needs to play. That from day one, he needs to be my starting quarterback.
Why? Why?
Because that's where we are in the NFL. Because I want to know. I want to play him. I'm not waiting a year to.
What do you want to know, Dave? He's the number one overall pick. What do you want to know?
Right,
it's not
away.
Like you're going to move off.
Joe Burrow played right away. Justin Herbert played right away.
Yeah. Joe Burrow played right away, Dave. And for Joe Burrow's sake, he was able to come around. I also know that David Carr played right away, and he got the career knocked out of him down there in Houston. It's
and
not just about whether or not the kid is ready to play. It's about whether the team around him is ready to perform so the kid can develop properly.
I don't think you can take Trevor Lawrence one overall and not play him. I don't think you can do it anymore.
I didn't say you're not going to play him, Dave. I didn't say you're not going to play him at all his rookie year, but you don't have to rush him out there. You don't have to play him week one. You don't have to do that. You can do what the Miami Dolphins did, which is wait and allow him to play when it's time for him, when it's the right time during the season for him to play. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
you got options. All I'm saying is you got options. You got options. If somebody blows you away with the trade value that they're offering Sam Darnold, then okay, cool. Then you make the deal.
But you don't think you get at least a third-round pick for him?
Dave, I would hope that you would get a third-round pick, but I don't know. We don't know. I don't know how healthy Sam Darnold is right now. So I don't know what you're going to get for him on the open market. That's one of those you're going to have to wait and see. I'm just saying is it doesn't have to be a situation where you got to absolutely trade him this offseason. You're going to decline the fifth-year option because I don't 100%. Think he's your long-term future at the quarterback position if you get the number one overall pick. But I don't think you absolutely have to trade him either.
All right, just we will see. It's going to be an interesting saga this offseason. Trevor Lawrence, quote on the bottom line of SportsCenter of ESPN, quote, I want to leave myself opportunities to take everything in I have not yet made. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You want to drive the show today?
No. No, I'm too upset to drive.
Though.
Nah, I'm too upset to drive.
Too upset to drive.
I'll drive CMT.
10:30 CMT. We're
Ooh,
on till
10:30.
Noon.
10:30.
Barton Hahn.
Now, does this mean because we've done two extra hours this week, does this mean that, is that equal to a day off for us at some point?
No.
Are you kidding?
No.
You think that there's any chance that they're going to come to us and say, you guys did two, I mean, who knows what tomorrow and Thursday, Friday bring. You guys have done two plus extra hours this week. Take a day? There's zero chance.
No, but if we have to do another show with an extra hour, we're just going to keep it from here on out. We're not giving it back.
Yeah, I think 3 days consecutively, yeah. There is a law in place that says that is now yours.
Yeah, exactly.
So if it happens again tomorrow, it's now ours.
Yeah. It's like if you live with a person for a certain amount of time.
Right.
It's like a common law marriage.
Exactly.
or it's like squatter's rights. Like if we're in the hour for three consecutive days, it's now our.
You're going to be the first pirate.
Well, I don't want to be a pirate.
That's right. We'll pirate the pirates.
Canty wore an eye patch.
It's good for the gander.
Canty wore an eye patch for a bit early on.
Oh, my goodness.
He used to get so mad.
Well, it's mean.
No, it isn't. It's all fun. You know what's not mean? Do we have any? I mean, we should say it. I mean, it's a big birthday for Canty. I mean, he's turning 40 today. I mean, it's a big.
Stop it! Stop it! Don't try to put extra years on me. Don't do that.
40.
Don't do that. You're being a bad guy. He wants me to join the club. I'm not joining him right now.
You don't want any
part of
the club.
I still got some more time in my 30s. I'm going to enjoy it.
You don't want any part of the club.
Yeah, I'm all set on that part.
I refuse to accept this year's birthday.
Nothing counts.
Appreciate the music, Santi. Appreciate you, brother.
But happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you, Dave.
Any I know it's a weird question to ask. Anything special going on today for you?
You'd have to ask my girlfriend. I have no idea. She just told me to make sure that my late afternoon evening is clear.
Ooh, so, nice. You know what that means? Taco Tuesday. That's Taco Tuesday written all over it.
She already blessed me with a nice birthday gift, so she's the best, man.
Hope you didn't get overzealous.
Absolutely the best.
Made that mistake.
Yeah, I got to give her a new title sooner rather than later.
Ooh, really?
That's breaking news right there.
Hang on a second.
I don't know if that's
God, you want to make an announcement?
Stop it. Huh?
You want to make an announcement?
There's no announcement to make, Dave.
Okay.
It's not yet, but it's coming.
It's gonna
going
happen
that way. She is the franchise player.
Really? You're going to put the tag on her?
Yeah. She's going to get the franchise tag.
Excellent.
And I'm hoping that we can agree in principle on a lifetime contract.
I think you will. And I don't even need to, because I have a line that I say to everybody when they tell me they get married. But I'm not even going to, you don't even need to hear it.
I'd actually like to know the line. What is that? What is the sage advice?
Exactly.
Dave Rothenberg.
You can't throw something out there like that and then pull it back.
If you get married on a football Sunday, I will not be there.
Oh, Dave, I would never. First
well,
of
that's
all.
What, I said, what did I just say?
Dave, I would never do that.
Because it's like, awful. It's rude.
I'm going to invite people that are in football. So, I mean, how can I?
I said I don't need to say it to you, and you guys got all upset and said, now you have to say
what
it.
What are your friends, animals?
That's what it is.
You have to tell
ridiculous.
Them that?
I tell everybody that, so I have full disclosure.
Find better friends, man. They should know that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I don't even think that's something that you should have to say, especially.
It is so rude if you are that selfish that you would get married on a football Sunday.
I would never do that, Dave.
I know you
would
not.
I would never do that.
I know you would not. Let's go. We found him. Elvis in Hamden. Elvis, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great honor to be on the show. Big fan.
Welcome aboard, Elvis.
Oh, man. You know, I was all set to kind of side with you, Dave, and Chris, this whole Trevor Lawrence thing. But, Dave, you're kind of a bad guy, man.
What did I do?
Kind of a bad guy. Well,
hang on. What did I do? What did I do from the moment you were ready to side with me to now that changing your opinion?
So this whole Jacksonville Jaguars strength of schedule thing, and you saying that the Patriots are going to come out here and give us a win on the last week, that's not right, man. And I'm seeing a bunch of Jacksonville Jaguars fans on Twitter, you know, just yucking it up, hoping that we win a game now. It's ridiculous.
Well, of course they want you to win a game. They want the number one pick.
Yeah, but I think after all we've been through, you know, with this season, I think we deserve it. What do you think, Rick?
Now, of course we deserve it. Now we just got to make sure we don't screw it up. Jacksonville can hope what they want. I mean, they can do whatever they want.
I think it'd be so awful for them if they wind up with the number two pick, by the way. I don't think Justin Fields is a booby prize in this draft.
No, it's not at all. But, I mean, if you're going to be as bad as the Jets are, you would like the ultimate prize, which is the first overall.
Yeah, just go all the way, man. Just go all the way.
No, they're on their way.
Yeah, this is not just go all the way. Let's not play just the tip and see how it feels. I mean, let's go.
Exactly.
Let's get in there.
Oh, dear. All right. Z, anybody in East Meadow, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just had this thought about Trevor Lawrence and using him on his first year, like, right away, and it was like during the preseason for practicing or whatever purposes. Like, if you get another team that had a similar record, right, that you don't play in your conference at all throughout the season, if you could just both your teams come together, you play against their A1 defense and they play against yours with your offense, you can actually see what Trevor Lawrence or whoever is your number one quarterback does against an actual defense.
Wait, what's happening?
I think he's saying if you're – I have no idea what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, please interpret that for me.
No, no, Jake, explain to me what you meant.
What do you actually mean? Because I think you're trying to make a valid point, but I don't get it.
All right, so say the Giants and Jets, they never play each other except once every 4 years, right? So say it's the first year they don't play each other. Giants get Trevor Lawrence, the Jets, right? Giants have a similar record from the previous season. They're in the same stadium, right? So they put – Trevor Lawrence's offense against the Giants' defense during practices and preseason before the season starts. So you're seeing an actual, you know, hard defense.
But isn't that what preseason games are for?
Yeah, but we don't have preseason games.
But I imagine they're going
to. I think it will go back
year.
To having at least a couple preseason games. I'm not sure if they're going to just completely eliminate preseason games. And they also have. I mean, you have outside of this year with the pandemic and COVID-19. That's the teams do that, where they have you know, they practice together for the entire week, and they, which is a good opportunity to go up against the other teams. You know,
in the third preseason
in a controlled
game
environment
is
in practice, because you're not tackling quarterbacks to the ground in practice. So it makes it a little bit easier. You know, you can put them out there without having to have the fear of your offensive line or anything else, you know, jeopardizing your quarterback's health.
Yeah, that's one of those ideas that you, when you say it in your head, you think you came up with it and then realize that it's already actually being done.
Yeah, I don't know that that was a great idea. I thought he had a chance and it died.
Well, I mean, it's actually a good time. it's a good idea, because that's what teams are actually already doing. I mean, that was the thought process on having, you know, these controlled, you know, flying wherever you're going to fly and then practicing with a different team, so you're not seeing the same guys over and over again.
They have something called the preseason. The third preseason game is as close to a regular season game as you're going to get. You have enough time normally to know whether the guy is ready to play or not.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with you. I think he's just going. He must think in his mind that because there was no preseason this year, then that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that must be it. That he thinks there is no more preseason moving forward, which is certainly not the case. It may be lessened from four, but I don't think you're going to see no preseason, unless, God forbid, we're still in this awful situation next September, or August, which would be.
Doesn't sound like it with the news we got from Pfizer yesterday.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, 90% efficacy. So
I really hope so.
Just hope that holds up.
College football is getting slammed right now.
They should.
You got games being postponed all over the place.
Oh, getting slammed that they're not going to play. Yeah. Well, the Alabama game is has it been canceled yet, or on the?
It
verge
hasn't been
of?
Canceled yet. That's on the verge. Because there's a bunch of guys on
think
LSU.
Think of how serious it is if they actually cancel an Alabama game. Like, then they're actually saying, like, you know what? It's legitimate.
Well, they're going to reschedule. Yeah. I mean, this is they're giving themselves
for
some
this week
room.
At least.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't forget when we were getting phone calls that, oh, I'm telling you, or you're just people, college coaches saying, the safest place for these guys to be.
Oh,
come on, man.
Terrible.
Ridiculous.
Really is. Now, the Michael K. Show's 20 and 20 contest, it continues today, 3 o'clock. The Michael K. Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game over the years, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. They're going to play an audio clip of someone that's been on their show. You call with the answer of who it is. You get it right. You win. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life just a little bit more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Frigidaire 38-bottle wine cooler. That's a nice gift, Rick. You'd love that, wouldn't you?
That's a fantastic gift, yeah. I'm on the precipice of actually dipping into the vino here. I haven't this entire time.
Well, you've been dry since March, right?
Dry since March, yeah.
I don't know why you would do that.
Well, Cass was pregnant. I'm not going to drink by my. I'm not going to. She loves wine. I'm not going to sit there and drink a glass of wine in
front
of her.
But she still can't drink, can she?
I mean, she can pump and dump, but we're not at that point yet.
Yeah. I think you ride it out in solidarity with her.
See, that's what I'm doing. I mean, that's just, it's a partnership.
You're a good guy.
Dave.
That's called being a good teammate.
Yeah, you're a good guy for that.
Mm-hmm.
I do my best.
But so you don't need this, so someone else can win this now.
Yeah, but whoever wins it, that's a great gift.
It's a great gift. Frigidaire 38-bottle wine cooler. It's a 2020 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand, and 98.7 ES. Let's bring him in. He's a man that really needs no introduction, but when he comes on the air, it's second to none. That is the talented Andy in America. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, D.C.
How are you?
Dave, I'm still in Dallas. The barbecue's unbelievable. Went to a place last night wearing my DiPietro 39 jersey. The hostess said I make her more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I don't even know what that means. But while we're in Dallas, we're going to talk Mavericks basketball with you boys.
Great.
Starting with, they have retired three numbers. Name two of them.
Dallas Mavericks retired numbers.
Have they retired Dirk yet?
They have not.
They have not retired Dirk.
Harper?
Rolando Blackman.
Blackman and Harper, too. Can you come up with a third one?
Well, what? Did someone say Harper?
I didn't.
Yes. Nobody said Dirk Harper.
Is Brad Davis retired?
Brad Davis, 3-for-3.
Okay.
Clean as a Barbasol shave.
Nice.
Now, Dirk, of course, holds most of the records. But the Mavericks were not the team that drafted him. Can you tell
Milwaukee,
me what team did?
I believe. Was it Milwaukee?
It is Milwaukee. Yeah. Traded for Robert
Tractor Trailer.
Yep. Now, Dirk is also the all-time blocks leader for the Mavericks. Can you tell me who ranks number two in Dallas history?
Could it be Sean Bradley?
Sean Bradley, Steve DiPietro.
Nice.
And finally, Dirk holds the second and third place for points scored in a single season. But what former All-Star holds the team record with 2,330 points in 1 year? Early 80s.
Early 80s.
And it's not, is it one of the guys we mentioned?
No.
Early 80s.
Most points in a season? Third most points or first most points?
Is it Mark Aguirre?
Mark Aguirre.
Nice, David.
I am the smartest man alive.
There we go.
Yeah, I would have never known that.
Phenomenal.
He was a great
happy
player.
Happy birthday to you, man.
My man, appreciate it, Andy.
Be careful out there. Stay healthy, boys.
All right. Success again. And tomorrow you carry it because it's hockey hump day from Andy and Mary.
I do love the hockey hump day.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say after watching that New England Patriots team last night and then watching what the Bucks did against the Saints that Belichick and Brady together, the best is having them both together?
Oh, yes.
They need each other.
Yeah.
Like, Tom Brady's going to be losing his mind having to deal with, like, Bruce Arians is a good guy, but, I mean, he's not, like, the extra stuff on his plate that he has to worry about not having Bill Belichick has got to be driving him crazy.
Well, as much as Bill Belichick might have got under Tom Brady's skin, I mean, they were together 20 years. They're just used to each other. So, I mean, the fact that you're going to have to adjust to something new is going to be a little bit of a learning curve, and sometimes that can be painful. And I think both guys are experiencing that right now. No one wins when the family feuds. I mean, I understand it was time for them to get the divorce, but I don't think either one were going to be the better for it this coming year. Not this year.
Yeah, but sometimes groups or couples break up and they're better off for it. I don't think this is one of those situations.
No, I don't think so either.
Certainly not for Belichick. You're right. Them as a duo is the best possibility for the two of them. Brady at least has a chance this year. Belichick has none.
Yeah, Brady will be in the playoffs, no question about it. But I don't know, Dave. I used to think that was the most complete team in the NFC. But after the way that they looked on Sunday night, man, I don't know how you're a championship contender and you're capable of putting out that kind of performance.
They look completely lost. You're right.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.